Welcome to GhostBiz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Schubel. I chat to the finance ghost every week to find out what's going on with the bigger companies on the bigger markets that affect potentially your pension. Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's talk MTN. Now, here in Namibia, MTN exited a number of years ago after a number of failed attempts to recapitalize their business here. But MTN are still present in many, many African countries. And what we find with people looking to expand into Africa is they're always looking at those big markets, Ghana, Kenya, Nigeria. MTN, however, have had a relatively torrid time of it in those markets. And by torrid, I mean volatile. It hasn't all been bad. What is the current situation? There's been some reporting coming out of MTN, and how does it affect the continental company?
Hello, Gary. Hello to all of the listeners. Nice place to start. There's a lot going on with MTN at the moment. We've seen that share price come off pretty hard, actually, in the past few days. The market did not enjoy what it saw from MTN Nigeria specifically. And it's actually been a busy few days on things for MTN because we had MTN Nigeria releasing results. We had MTN Ghana releasing results. We also had MTN giving an update on their IHS transaction, which has now been approved by shareholders of IHS. So that's good news. And then on top of all of that, we had news of a court case and a lawsuit against MTN Ghana, something to do with IP related to their mobile money business going back many, many years. And MTN Ghana have come out strongly and said, no, we're not raising a provision for this. We don't think that this is a claim that we need to worry about. So lots for investors to digest. But I think the thing that spooked them is the second quarter results out of MTN Nigeria. Now, if you go and look at those MTN Nigeria results, what you'll actually find is a lot of focus on how they performed over 6 months. And there's a reason for that. It's because the 6 months numbers are actually quite good. Service revenue was up 25.9%. That's ahead of their guidance, which is at least low 20% growth. It's also 10.4 percentage points above inflation. So plenty of real growth there. But if you then look at the second quarter, unfortunately, it was a lot slower than we saw in the first quarter. So to give you an idea, second quarter service revenue growth was 13.2%. That is way below the 25.9% that they achieved for the 6 months. So it shows you that the first quarter actually did most of the heavy lifting. Now, why did that happen? Well, there was an airtime credit suspension during the second quarter, and MTN really downplayed it, much to the sadness of Optasia shareholders who watched that share price basically disappear into the abyss as we had a scenario where Nigerian regulators didn't allow this airtime credit service to take place, which is the biggest part really, or certainly a major part of Optasia's business. And MTN have come out and said, well, you know, don't worry about it. It doesn't really affect our business, which smashed the Optasia share price, because obviously if one of your biggest clients is coming out and saying your product doesn't really matter to us, then that's not great news for your share price. But maybe that product does matter, because now that we actually see the Q2 numbers out of MTN Nigeria, things were a lot slower, and not just in the fintech business where you get the obvious impact of something like an airtime credit suspension. It was slower across data, it was slower across voice. So this implies that obviously if people can't get access to this stuff, then they can't use it. They're not using their phones as much. That's good news for Optasia, was not good news for MTN Nigeria in this quarter. And the market has panicked a little bit about what this means for MTN's broader growth. So all eyes on the second half of the year, because now this airtime credit story is behind them, things are back to normal. And the market will certainly look to MTN Nigeria to get back to their medium-term growth rates. If they do, then the MTN share price will probably get back on the boil quite quickly. But certainly for now, there's been a lot of profit taking in the market, admittedly after a really strong run. And just a quick note on MTN Ghana, actually a better performance than MTN Nigeria, quite significantly so. Service revenue up 32.3%. This is in a country where the average inflation rate was just 3.8%. So that is massive real growth. Very, very impressive. Margins are up. And they don't actually disclose free cash flow, specifically in MTN Ghana, which is annoying. But if you eyeball it, it does look like things are going in the right direction there. So overall, MTN Ghana, really good. MTN Nigeria, concerning second quarter, but probably going to be okay into the second half of the year. TBC, obviously, and that will drive the share price.
Take a look now at a ticker that we haven't really spent any time on in the last couple of years, and that is Storage, an interesting business model. Effectively, garage-like apartments, buildings that you can go and store stuff in. One, it's always amazing how much people have to store. Is that a that it's such an attractive business model. They've been acquisitive. They're looking to take on more properties. Tell us a little bit more about potentially that sector of real estate. It's not particularly glamorous like shopping malls or residential areas, but it does seem pretty stable and quite an attractive long-term investment option.
Storage is an interesting company, actually. They are a simple company. They literally do storage, hence the name Storage. They threw a hyphen in the middle and turned it into a brand. But it's actually a pretty cool asset class because ultimately it's very defensive. You've got really cool underlying trends like people downsizing, people moving in and out of big cities, needing to store stuff on a temporary basis or sometimes even a longer term basis. And it's just a simple business, right? It's here's the keys to your garage, go put your stuff in. And if you don't pay this month, then please take your stuff away. Very nice and simple. And simple is good. There's nothing wrong with simple. It allows the business to focus on things like how they finance the properties, where they put down new sites. And that's where it becomes interesting, is getting occupancy rates up, making sure you're in a busy enough area, for example. And also the mix between going and doing new projects versus acquiring. So the latest from Storage is they've acquired 10 extra space properties for 387 million rand, or at least they want to. And this portfolio is spread across the Western Cape, Gauteng, and KZN. On top of that, they've locked in a deal to manage a further 6 extra space properties. That gives them either ownership or at least management over the full portfolio of 16 properties. Why would Storage do this? They do this because it helps them generate fees. They are being paid to manage someone else's assets. And obviously, from a balance sheet perspective, that does great things for return on capital. If you're not using your capital, but you're earning fees, then the returns are there, the capital is not, and you do really well as a result. This is something that we've seen from Storage recently. They've been pushing quite hard into this strategy, and I think it's a smart thing for them to be doing.
So let's take a look at a company now. We can't talk about Trustco. It's been pretty quiet at the moment, but African Bitcoin Corporation came out here and wandered off to the Namibian Stock Exchange and had a chat about doing things there. They're an interesting company that seems to be quite hard to understand from a traditional investing perspective. You've written a couple of times about what's going on there. Perhaps just give us a scope of what you think the prospects are in terms of what their current strategy is around Bitcoin.
Africa Bitcoin Corporation is certainly one of the more unique names on the local market. They are the only so-called Bitcoin treasury company that we have on the JSE. And basically what that means is that the stated objective of the group is to buy more Bitcoin. I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's essentially the goal here. So shore up their balance sheet with holdings of Bitcoin and then use that to either raise more capital or, you know, it's collateral, basically. It's like having cash. Their view is it's like having cash. They just have Bitcoin instead. Now, that is obviously quite an out there strategy. You can imagine how hard it is to convince the suits in a traditional asset management environment that this is a good idea. It's not that easy to convince retail investors either, because it has been a slog for Africa Bitcoin Corporation. Of course, this used to just be called Altvest. They renamed it. I think my issue with the strategy has always been that the company tries to run, never mind before they walk, before they even crawl sometimes, just as the Altvest name was starting to get some momentum and they'd spent so much money marketing it. They then completely changed their approach to Africa Bitcoin Corporation and basically had to start again. Underneath all of this, there are 3 preference shares representing 3 different assets. One is a game lodge, which I think is little more than a lifestyle asset, really. The other is a restaurant, literally a restaurant now. I think they had a couple. They had to close down one or whatever the case is. Really tough scenes there for that family-owned business. And then the one that is actually worth talking about is the Altvest Credit Opportunities Fund, which then still carries the Altvest brand. You can see how quickly this becomes confusing. And the goal of that fund, the short name is ACOF, would basically be to lend money into South African SMEs. Very good, noble cause, love it. Banks do a bad job of this, generally speaking. And I've engaged with the company on this stuff before, and I think their heart is in the right place in terms of wanting to actually give South African SMEs access to finance at a reasonable rate. But it is really difficult. You have to scale that book extremely quickly, and you have to obviously carry credit losses. They're not a bank, so they're not getting the cheap cost of funding that a bank gets in the form of deposits. So it is life on hard mode. And then the additional hard layer is using Bitcoin as the collateral that supports the balance sheet. That's the theory, at least. I'm going to just point out now that from a Bitcoin perspective, their holding is actually a tiny percentage of the total assets in the group. So based on the latest thing that they reported, the Bitcoin balance was around 1.5 million rand out of 512 million rand of assets on the balance sheet. So as much as Bitcoin is in the name and all over their branding and everything else, it's actually a minute part of what they are doing right now. And that's why I almost wish they'd done things the other way around. Turned the Bitcoin side of the business into one of the underlying preference shares for those who are interested, and allowed the Credit Opportunities Fund to flourish and be the brand and benefit from all of the money they had already put into the AltVest brand. But this is the way they went, and they are continuing to hack away at it, the team there, and we'll see what happens. I do want their SME lending business to succeed, because I think anything that puts capital into the hands of SMEs in South Africa is a worthwhile exercise.
Ghost, as always, thank you for your inputs and your insights. We'll be chatting to you again next week right here on GhostBiz.